I decided to take a Sunday off so Karen's preaching this morning. We thought it'd be good to get this over with. I wrote across my notes early this morning the famous quote of one famous man. His name was Dr. Seuss. And I wrote last sermon at San Carlos Community Church, 5/18/2013. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Yes. Smile because we've had 5 great years together. 5 years of seeing the God glorified. 5 great years of seeing lives touched and changed. 5 years of seeing the glory of God reign in spite of human weaknesses, all of ours, and our sinfulness. Smile because God is on his throne and he will be on it tomorrow morning when we all wake up.
Hallelujah.
And he'll be on it forever.
Yes.
Amen. It's our privilege to say that it's been a privilege to love you and serve you and be in your lives. And it's been a privilege to call you our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's been a privilege to hug you and to walk with you through trials and tribulations. And it's been a privilege to uphold you in prayer. And it's been a privilege to bring you the Word of God, the Word of truth. And we pray that somehow, some way in these last five years, God has moved you a little bit closer to Him because of that. And if He moved you just a little even, it's been worth every ounce of effort and work and love we've poured into you. Praise God for you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for walking with us through trial and tribulation. Thank you for being giving and forgiving when we've fallen short of God's glory. Thank you for your love and compassion and understanding to us personally.
I love it this morning that everything we sang about tells us who God is and his faithfulness and his love, and he is true. And I thought about standing up here this morning and what God would want me to tell you and the overflow of my heart. And the thing that stands so strongly is that God is good and God is faithful. During Rich's prostate surgery and the radiation and the difficult times through that, God's is good has been the resounding thing that God has been telling me. And that little word good is no longer little in my mind. It is huge. It is just an incredible God who would be so good and so gracious to us during the 5 years we've been here. But then when I think of God's goodness, I look at you, and then I am overwhelmed as well. Because you are God's goodness in our lives. Your friendship, your love, your compassion to us. Sometimes it's been financial help as we've walked through deep waters with Rich's health. It's been the hugs we get every Sunday from you. It's been those words of encouragement, those smiles. They are huge, and you just do not know what that has done for the two of us. And so we leave with heavy hearts, smiling, but hearts that are just really overflowing with gratefulness for God's provision during these years. And so we just thank you so much for who you are, and we know that the new pastor and his wife coming will be loved on just as much as we have been. And so we just thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much.
Praise God. Thank you for that. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. What a great way to approach life. transformational living, living in the reality of a transformed life. We're still in the book of Philippians this morning, page 980. It's really kind of part two of last week's message. Remember that Paul says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Be renewed in your mind because you've been transformed. Think differently, live differently. Offer yourselves to God differently. Be transformed in the reality of what's happened because you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your soul. We said last week the purpose of Philippians, the book of Philippians, is that he wanted to encourage the Philippian believers to live in the fullness of joy as citizens of a heavenly community. This world is not your home. If you're living like this world is your home, you're living in the wrong reality. This world is temporary. It's only going to last a short moment. It's a breath long. And it's gone. But the reality is that called up in Christ Jesus, we're called upwards to a heavenly citizenship in a heavenly community. And we're called to live in the fullness of joy right now as citizens here on earth of that heavenly community. He wants to remind them to live with a growing commitment to serve God and to serve one another in love. That's what we learned in verse 9 last week. He said, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. Turn over to chapter 3 for a moment, just to reinforce this citizenship understanding. This world is not our home. Chapter 3, verse 20. Paul says this, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, there's that word, our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. I think I'm correct in saying, if I understand what he's saying, therefore, because our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven, we're still here, let your life reflect your citizenship. Live transformationally in your life, which should always be pointing where? Towards the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. Now, go back to chapter 1, verse 27 with me, where we're going to start this morning. Chapter 1, verse 27, page 980. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Let your manner of life be worthy of Christ. He begins that sentence there, that phrase, that verse with. Worthy. What does that mean to live worthy? Well, it means to live with the Greek word appropriately good conduct. Live your life with a good conduct that exemplifies, that's worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another definition would be live so that you're becoming of, that your life is becoming of the Lord Jesus Christ, becoming of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And not only are we to let our lives be worthy of the gospel, but he says there that I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. Well, in the original text, that means, I thought it was kind of humorous, thinking of ladies sitting out here this morning as I'm preaching, that we're wrestling together.
while wrestling together, standing firm in one spirit. It means wrestling together, striving together, thinking in like-mindedness towards the same goal, towards the same result. This isn't new what Paul is saying. He's repeated this over and over in the letters of the epistles that he's written. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the letter to the Ephesians church, he basically says the same thing. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk, here it comes, in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Are you doing that this morning? Are you walking in a manner worthy of the calling that the God of the universe has called you to which you've been called? And look how he says we're to walk. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think Paul's concerned about something that's very, very significant here. He says there's one thing that you Philippian believers must pay the closest attention to as you are living as citizens of heaven here on earth. Don't get sidetracked. And I think it's so appropriate for San Carlos Community Church right now. Don't get sidetracked from striving with all your might to maintain the unity of the Spirit with one another in the body of Christ. Don't get sidetracked from that purpose. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm in one spirit with one another. You see, I just firmly believe, and I think Paul reinforces this, that when your focus is on other people and not on yourself, when your view is off of your own life and onto the life of someone else, you will then live in the fullness of joy that Paul says is the purpose as citizens of heaven, living here on this earth. That you will experience a fullness of joy that you will not experience if you're always under your own microscope about your own life. But when your focus is on others and giving yourselves completely sold out to other people with the love of God poured out for them through you, you will experience the fullness of joy. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 16:14. He says, let all that you do be done in love. All that you do be done in love. And that back to verse 27 here in chapter 1, he says, that I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I just happen to think that it takes a very courageous church to resist infighting. It takes a very courageous church to step out of yourselves and to work together to maintain the common purpose of serving Christ together. I looked up a verse this morning. I didn't remember it. I had just happened to open the Bible this morning to Joshua. Remember, Joshua was leading the people, about to lead the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And the thing that God tells Joshua as God commissions Joshua to take Moses' place, he says, Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And he says that twice. Be strong and very courageous. Are you courageous? Are you courageous in your soul? about your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, far too much time, I've been in the ministry too long and seen too many broken churches, far too much time is wasted and effort is wasted on fighting one another within the local body of the church oftentimes, instead of uniting together with one another against the real opposition that exists, Satan himself and the flesh and the world. Paul's calling us as well as the Philippians that we're to strive together, wrestle together, be united together to strive side by side. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. In Ephesians, you've been called with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I can't think of a better thing to charge you with as I leave here as your pastor. Than to strive side by side with one another. Put your arm around each other. Yoke your arms together. Don't let go. Don't let anything come between you. Set yourselves aside. Let love abound inside of you, as we learned last week. Let, as partakers of grace, remember that everyone else alongside of you is a partaker of grace too. Therefore, be merciful and compassionate and forgiving, because we all make mistakes and we all do wrong things. Let's read this together in unison. Would you join me? So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. In the days and years ahead, Karen and I hope to hear that this truth is being lived out to the fullest extent here at San Carlos Community Church. Listen, you'll never reach, and I'm fully convinced of this, you will never reach the full potential of touching San Carlos with the gospel of Jesus Christ unless you're striving to meet this way of life among yourselves first. Be courageous. Live worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let San Carlos Community Church always live worthy of the gospel. The world is watching you. I was made so aware of that this week as I was out in the community. And people were coming up to me and hugging me and thanking us for being here in the community and wishing us well. And I was just overwhelmed by how the community was always watching and listening and paying attention to what was going on here at San Carlos Community Church. Be courageous to live worthy of the gospel. Let San Carlos Community Church live worthy of the gospel. How? By each one of you individually being courageously striving to live worthy of the gospel. Are you courageous this morning? Be courageous in all that you do for the glory of God. Is it going to be easy? The answer is no. Look at verse 28 and 29. You see, Paul says here to the Philippians that standing firm together for the gospel is not going to be easy. It's going to be costly. It's going to be costly. There's going to be some suffering along the way. And you don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear about suffering, but it's true. Verse 27, at the end of verse 27, he says, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Opponents? Yes, opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul had been in prison right from the beginning, the moment he walked into Philippi, 10 years before he wrote this letter back in Acts chapter 16. He walked into town and immediately there was opposition. The slave girl started following him around and saying, "These men, him and Silas, are men of the Most High God. They declare the way of salvation." But she never stopped. And for several days, she just repeated that over and over and over. Finally, Paul got annoyed with her. It's like having this loudspeaker in your ear all day long. And he turned around and said, "Come out of her." And he cast a demon out of her because she was demon-possessed. She was a fortune teller. She was a slave girl. She had an owner. And immediately, he had opposition. That slave girl's owner got very upset because suddenly he had his money-making machine broken. And he went to the people and the magistrates in town and he started declaring that these two men are teaching something that goes against what we believe. And suddenly the whole town was in an uproar and they went to the magistrates and the magistrates had Paul and Silas put in prison. You probably know the story. And they were locked in stocks, beaten with rods before they were locked down. They had opponents. There were the magistrates. There were the Pharisees. There were the Judaizers who were always following Paul around, trying to tear down the gospel that Paul was preaching. You see, I think that two things will rear their ugly heads when you and I are courageously bold to strive together to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is indeed alive because he's the Savior of the world. Two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to have opponents. Just get used to it. There's always going to be some opponents that are coming against you. And certainly we've seen that over and over in the Scriptures. Jesus said about those opponents, he said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Matthew 5, 11 and 12. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Opponents to the gospel are a way of life. Jesus came down here for that very fact. As a matter of fact, all of us sitting here this morning were at one time opponents of the gospel. And it wasn't until we became partakers of God's grace and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith that we moved from being opponents to the gospel to being partakers of grace, as we talked about last week. I hope you're a partaker of grace as you sit here today. I hope you've been moved from being an opponent to Jesus Christ by faith to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, when you believe by faith, the Bible says we're transformed. We're made different. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. We're crucified with Christ. We're transferred from a dominion of darkness, a kingdom of darkness of this world, and we're brought into the kingdom of God. We're now new citizens of heaven. There's this whole dynamic transformation that takes place. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified and set apart for God. We're partakers of grace, dearly loved by God. And we will have opponents when that happens in our lives. But not only that, I think there's another thing that raises its ugly head. And it's that you and I will be tempted to always go back to the former life. We'll be tempted to go back and look more again at ourselves and be more concerned with ourselves than we are about abounding in love towards one another, striving together with one another. You're going to be tempted to fulfill your own desires instead of living for God. You're going to be tempted to try and avoid suffering at all cost. And you will go to great lengths to avoid suffering. And you will believe some lies that are taught that you don't have to suffer in this life. They're lies. Don't give in to the fear inside of you about suffering. Deep inside of you, there's a fear of letting go. There's a fear about letting go and enjoying a vitally alive relationship with the God who created you. But there's something deep inside of every one of us that says, I don't think I can trust God enough to let go and trust Him. You know, every once in a while there's something that comes along that touches you rather deeply. Some time ago I heard this story and it's touched me and I just can't get away from it. Maybe it'll touch you this morning. Once there was a tree and she loved a little boy very, very much. And every day the boy would come and when he would climb up her trunk, he would swing from her branches. He would eat of her apples. He would rest in her shade. He would take her leaves and form a crown and wear it. He would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very, very much. He even took a knife and he carved a big heart in the tree and said, "Tree, I love you." And the tree was very happy. But one time went by, and the tree grew older. And the tree was often alone. And then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk, swing from my branches, eat of my apples, rest in my shade. I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things. And I want to have fun. I want some money. Tree, can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I don't have any money. I only have leaves and apples." "I know," said the tree. "Climb up in my branches and take all my apples and sell them, and then you will have money. And you'll be happy." So the boy climbed up in the tree and he gathered all her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a very long time and the tree became sad. Then one day the boy came back and the tree shook with joy. And she said, "Come, boy, come. Climb up my trunk. Swing from my branches. Eat of my apples and rest in my shade and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm." He said, "I want a wife and I want children. So I need a house. Tree, can you give me a house?" "I don't have a house," said the tree. "The forest is my home. But, boy, you may cut off my branches and build a house, and then you will be happy." So the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build a house, and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play. I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat. I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat, tree? Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." So the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat, and he sailed away, and the tree was happy, but not really. After a long, long time, the boy came back again. "I'm sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them. I'm too old to swing on the branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb. I'm too tired to climb," said the boy. "I'm sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy. "Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired." "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up one more time, as much as she could. "Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest." And the tree was happy. Shel Silverstein, in his modern parable, The Giving Tree, points us clearly to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where Jesus Christ, the Savior, hung on a tree, giving himself completely for the sake of all humanity. Let me read, starting in verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God was highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can I be courageous with you this morning? To encourage you to be courageous, because Jesus Christ has demonstrated to you personally the ultimate sacrifice of giving, so that you indeed can abound in love, striving together in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Be careful with your lives to obey everything that God has commanded you, as he commanded Joshua going into the land. Be strong and courageous in everything. Be courageous because you're partners together in the gospel, as we learned last week. Be courageous because you're partakers of a grace that is beyond measure and something you can't manufacture on your own. It only is poured forth from the God of heaven who created you. Be courageous to take a stand even when you're facing opposition, and you will face it if you're really courageous and stand up for Jesus Christ. Be courageous because you're not alone in your stand. that the God of the universe has empowered you in the indwelling Holy Spirit with everything that you could possibly need. The same power, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That power is at work in you. Be courageous and don't give up. Be courageous. When you're tempted to begin to look at yourself again and think more about yourself than you do others, be courageous to look up at the cross of Christ and look at His humanity that He enveloped in coming down here to sacrifice Himself so that you would have full identity and revelation of who God is. You don't know God, look at Jesus and you will know Him. He's your living example of truth for your life. Be courageous and strong. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a tree on which hung a Savior for you, so that you could live as a citizen of heaven right now, today, in this life and moment. Right now. Let's bow together in prayer. God, the things that Paul is talking about here to us this morning, we just so want to experience. And it's my prayer, Father, that we will indeed experience it as we set ourselves aside for the glory of Your name. God, we want You to hear and see that we're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We want to be pleasing and acceptable and holy in Your sight, living the truth of being sanctified by Your grace. God, may all that's done here, today and in the future, always be done in love, abounding in love with one another. Help us to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side, wrestling together for the faith of the gospel. God, continue, I pray, as Karen and I leave here, to touch San Carlos through this precious body of believers. Let the glory of Your name be exalted through the living testimony of these lives, who are walking and striving in unity with one another, courageously proclaiming the good news of Christ. Help them to fulfill their calling, Father. For if ever there was a time for them to fulfill their calling, it's now. Help them to put away anything that would hinder them in any way from fulfilling Your calling. Help us to put away any sin, Father, this morning, any fear, any distraction, any entanglements. Father, we know it's time for us to take up the mantle of greatness, the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, and to become all that God is calling us to become. It's time for us, Lord, to take our stand, Lord, and we want to. It's time for us to rise, Lord. It's time for us to shine. For God has appointed us for such a time as this in 2013. And we want to live in that calling, we pray. So, Father, accomplish in us all that You want to accomplish to fulfill our calling, we humbly ask, by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in us. in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.